welcome to the art programme on Phoenix FM, and a very happy Easter Sunday to everyone celebrating. On this week's show, I'm joined by Spencer on a special evening dedicated to having fun over the Easter holidays. Whether that be chilling out and listening to some music celebrating new beginnings, or watching some thematic films, or travelling the county looking for all of the best things to do, we have you covered.
We'll also have a little to muse over with other springtime festivals and cultural happenings that are happening at the moment. So let's start off with a springtime playlist and get on with the show. I'm Spencer.
And I'm Natalie, and this is the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
From my lips, baiting some girl with hypotheses. Haven't you heard the word of your body? Don't feel a thing. You heard the word of my wanting. Oh, I'm gonna be wounded. Oh, I'm gonna be your wound. Oh, I'm gonna bruise you.
That was a song called The Word of Your Body from the musical Spring Awakening. So I chose this song in particular because I think it aligns with the whole story of Spring Awakening, which is what most people presume to be about flowery springtime love, which actually is not. It's about bold rock musical themed sexual desire primarily. Slightly inappropriate for a Sunday afternoon. But anyway, Spring Awakening's music was written by Duncan Sheik and based on a book by Stephen Sater, who also wrote the lyrics. It's based on a story from 1891, which was a German play by Frank Wedekind, set in the late 19th century. And it tells the story of teenagers discovering the inner and outer tumult of adolescent sexuality. The song is from when Wendla searches the woods for flowers for her mother, and then she stumbles upon Melchior, who is a childhood friend, and they reminisce on their childhood and consider what it would be like to give one another their physical desires. Again, quite inappropriate for a Sunday afternoon.
All this stuff reminds me of The Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man. Yeah, to be honest, there's a little bit of Midsummer in there as well, isn't there? But yeah, we're going to be looking at some traditional festivals later in the show. But as you are probably aware, many springtime festivals across the world do celebrate new beginnings with rebirth and fertility. So yeah, I found it thematic anyway, if not slightly inappropriate.
But will we be talking about The Wicker Man?
I don't know. That's kind of up to you. Do you want to talk about it now?
I'm not talking about the Nicolas Cage one, that dodgy one. I'm talking about the Edward Woodward one.
Well, I've not seen that one. Or have I?
Yes.
No, that's the one that we did watch the other day.
That's the one I'm
that's
always
the one
watching.
That I
that's the one I'm okay. always watching.
Okay. That was the one that's got the special feature of David Gallifrey talking
yes.
about The Wicker Man.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's the one.
Nice interview there as well.
Yeah, good old David. Bless him. What you been up to this week?
In other news, well, I have been preparing a top secret project in Brentwood, which I'm not allowed to talk about yet. So hopefully we'll be able to talk about that on the show next week. But a project I can talk
is
about...
Is it Fight Club?
It might be Fight Club, but I wouldn't be able to tell you if it was. But what I can tell you about is Architecture Week, which I've been planning most of this week. And you'll hear much, much more about it later in the show, because there's quite a lot involved in that. And then I've been organising the next phase of Girls Do Tours with Charlotte Bays. So this is taking us on an adventure in Upminster. We've not done our preliminary research yet in terms of where exactly it will be, but we do know that it will be in Upminster. It will be the same tour format as we did in Hornchurch, which is basically a history tour, which lasts for about an hour. You have probably about 20-minute walking time and then 40 minutes of historical context led by an actress. It's all quite fun and quite humorous as well, very accessible, and we'll be running two of those a month over the summer, so that'll be really nice.
Is it going to be Charlotte again? Not Charlotte, Louise.
I've not spoken to Louise. That would be amazing.
Is Louise going to be a chimney sweep this time?
No.
Or,
well, she was a ghost of Romford Market, wasn't she, the first year?
An urchin or something, wasn't she?
Yeah, and then in the Romford pub tour, she was an RAF cadet. I would love for Louise to come back and do our Upminster tour. She probably will end up being a farm girl. So yeah, I mean, obviously I have to pass this by her rather than just announcing that she will be on a radio show.
Well, you know, she'll make a good farm girl.
She would make a great farm girl. There is no end to that lady's talent. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. What have you been doing this week?
So on Monday I was the gatekeeper.
What does that mean?
So yeah, I was hoping that someone was going to come up to me and say, are you the gatekeeper? And I would have said, yes, I was. And they would have said, I am the keymaster. But that didn't happen. It was all very boring. But it
That's
was also
from a film, isn't it?
It was a screening of Ghostbusters, whatever it's called nowadays, Winter of Discontent, Frosty Nibbles, or... I don't know. I can't remember.
The new Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
film.
I can't remember what it's called. It's something to do with winter and ice and something.
Does it have any of the original characters in? Because I know the last one did.
It does have some of the original characters in it.
Ah,
I'm
so you're not going to give us any
anymore.
Spoilers. It is out at the cinema at the moment.
Yeah, but if you've not seen
it's getting
it,
some
and you're
good
waiting
reviews.
For a Blu-ray or a Sky television or a box
some
office
kind of
on demand.
Yeah.
Yes. There are some returns. I mean, everyone knows that Bill Murray's in it, but there's some other characters in it too from the
Ooh,
past.
Very exciting.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch it. I was the gatekeeper, and once everyone was in the screen, I packed my bags and shuffled off.
And this was a special screening, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In a collaboration with a radio show which will not be named.
Yeah, with a radio station that will not be named.
Yeah.
That might happen to be in Romford.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk any further than that.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
How many people came for it?
Well, there was 290 on the list, and I would say probably about 235 turned up.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's pretty good, actually, in terms of events nowadays. People tend not to turn up for free
events. I mean, if it's
events.
Free, why would you turn up?
I know, but it's strange, isn't it? Because it used to be the other way around. A free event, everyone would show up. Anything that you had to pay for, nobody would spend the money. But now people only seem to arrive to the things that they have paid for. Very strange.
I've also been working on Romford Film Festival. There's a surprise.
There's another one, is there?
There is another one from the 24th to the 28th of May.
That's very soon, if you think about it.
It's probably about 55 days now. But luckily, it's a lot less stress, isn't it, than the Horror Festival. The Horror Festival is so full on.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a little bit more chilled.
It's
you get
quite
to sit
intense,
around
the horror one, isn't it?
Have a chat with people. But we've got some great films coming, and I'm still selecting those based on the selections committee's views.
And they are still committeeing.
They are still committeeing independently of each other.
Does that mean not all of the films have been selected yet?
Yeah, we're at about 40 so far, which means that there's about another 110 to select.
Wow. And you do selections based on kind of a grading system, don't you?
Yeah. So if it scores above a certain percentage, then it's through.
A bit like school board exams.
Yeah.
You know, if you get above a certain percentage based on what everyone's academic development is that year, then you'll get your 8 or 9 or whatever it is nowadays.
Yeah, it's like an A+.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, one of the films I watched yesterday morning in the bath, like you do, is a film called A+.
A+. Was it an A+ film?
It was an okay film.
Yeah.
And it was about two parents that go round to beat up a school teacher because their daughter only got an A and they thought that she deserved an A+.
I mean, it does sound real to life, to be honest, doesn't it? You can imagine that happening.
So it ended with that classic Robert De Niro pose where the little girl looks at the teacher and does the points at her eyeballs and then points to him in a threatening manner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching you. So, yes, that's been my week. And other than that, I've been resting and regretting last weekend's Easter Bunny activity.
Yes, because of course I mentioned it on the show last week that I was exhausted from the face painting, but Spencer was also there as chief photographer of the Easter Bunny.
And rather charmingly, as I was getting up, having taken a photograph, I ripped all the front of my trousers, which was great entertainment for all.
Yeah, I mean, there's entertainment for the kids and then there's entertainment for everyone else.
I was like, yeah, I need to go off and put some extra clothes on.
All of the joys of working at a shopping centre.
We have some music.
Yeah, on that note. So obviously the theme of the show this week is New Beginnings. So what better way to start the theme of New Beginnings but play New Beginning by Tracy Chapman?
broken to fragments and pieces. Once we're joined together in a unified whole. But now too many stand alone. It's too much separation. Can't resolve to come together in the new beginning. Break the cycle. We can break the chain. We can start all over in the new beginning. We can learn, we can teach, we can share the myths, the dreams, the prayers, the notion we can do better, change our lives and paths, create a new world. Start all over. Start all over. Start all over. Start all over. The whole world's broke. It ain't worth fixing.
Oh, my heart is aching. We're coming to the edge, right?
And that was Carly Simon coming around again. Carly Simon had a double stab at an Oscar with that song, because it first appeared in the Jack Nicholson film Heartburn in 1986, and then 2 years later it rocked up in Working Girl, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And it actually won the Oscar that time.
Oh, so it is an Oscar-winning film.
It is.
Rather.
It is.
Did the other film win any Oscars, do you know?
No.
No, that was kind of like a Lone Ranger.
Yeah, no, it was. It's one of those films that's been forgotten as well, despite being very good. It had a good cast, you know, Jack Nicholson, Meryl Streep, and then it just sort of disappeared. And I don't think anyone ever really talks about Heartburn, but at the time it was a big deal.
What surprises me is that the song could be nominated for two different film Oscars.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that enters your mind nowadays. Like every song that is entered into the Oscars is kind of a song that has been produced for that film.
Yeah.
And this must be a song that was produced and it worked in multiple films.
There were slight differences between the two. So the version that you've just heard was from Working Girl. And the original version that was in Heartburn started off with Itsy Witsy Spider.
So is Heartburn more of a thriller?
No, Heartburn's a comedy, romantic comedy. But yeah, it started off with Itsy Witsy Spider, and then at the end of the rhyme, it then ran into coming.
Interesting.
Also featured, Heartburn featured the song Coming Around Again, which was also Carly Simon.
And she was
a contender for an Oscar.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Two songs from the same film nominated
double
for Oscars?
That doesn't often happen
either, does it?
Carly Simon, whatever happened to her?
I don't know.
There was that song, wasn't there, You're So Vain, which was apparently based around Warren Beatty.
Yeah. And then that reappeared later, didn't it? That was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I
only know these films from this period of time. But anyway, I've given you a task for this week to come up with some films that you should watch to feel afresh or a new beginning from. And you said that you had a bit of an existential crisis thinking of them.
Well, it's quite difficult because actually, when I tell you about these films that you should be watching, you'll find that they've all got very similar themes. And actually, if you're looking about Rising from the Ashes and Rebirth and Phoenix-like activity, it's very hard to find films that aren't horror films that fall into that criteria. It's all about just, you know, saving yourself and coming back and having another stab at life. So
what have you come up with on that note?
Well, one of my all-time favourite films, Kramer versus Kramer, and this is a strange one, I know, because it's an incredible movie that stars Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep. She's at the end of her tether and he doesn't see it happening because he's a complete workaholic. Then one day he gets home to discover she's leaving. Not just him, but her son as well. So Hoffman's character needs to learn what it's like to be a parent, a single parent. And bear in mind, this is the end of the 1970s. And at that moment in time, nobody really wanted to go and watch a film about breaking down and breaking up. And of course, in the process, he loses everything because he discovers that being a parent, a single parent, is much harder than you might at first think. And he's very much, for the most part of his child's life, a stay-away father. They live together, but he's not involved in the child's raising at all. And then, of course, you know, something clicks inside of him. He gets all of his parental urges and, you know, they start having a really nice time. But then, of course, Meryl Streep
comes back
on the old blower and she calls a meeting.
On the old blower.
She calls a meeting. That's all I'm going to say. So if you've not seen Kramer versus Kramer, it is a Oscar nominated. I think it actually won an Oscar.
This is a film that I have seen.
You have seen it?
Yeah.
You've definitely seen it. And you've also seen the next film that I picked out.
What is the next film?
The next film is Baby Boom. And I know what you're thinking. Exploding babies. No, that isn't... That isn't...
You said no horror.
That isn't the nature of the story. So
although, are you going to talk about Mother?
No, I'm not going to mention Mother. I've got something far better for the end. So, Baby Boom, set in the 1980s. It stars Diane Keaton, a Oscar-winning actress.
Yes.
And she plays a workaholic who, out of the blue, becomes a custodian to a baby. I think if I remember correctly, it's a niece or a nephew who's killed in a car crash.
Yeah.
And she gets lumped with this baby.
And she's very non-maternal as well.
Yes.
Like very stereotypical, goes to work, lives for the job, everyone respects her.
Exactly. You know, she's on it.
Independent woman in business, need no man.
Exactly. So, barely time for a personal life, let alone raising a child. And like Hoffman in Kramer versus Kramer, she loses absolutely everything. Her high-powered marketing job ends out in the wilds of America with no hope and a house that's falling apart. And then suddenly, she stumbles upon a plan. Using her marketing background, she creates the ultimate kitchen business.
You've chosen some quite feminist films here.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to chuck in The Secret of My Success to mix it up a bit. But actually, The Secret of My Success is a 1987 film starring Michael J. Fox. And again, the actual power of the story lays in two women.
Mm.
So he ends up having a relationship with his aunt. And
when was it released? The 80s?
1987. So right. He has this kind of relationship with his aunt, who sees something in him and comes and propels him up the career chain. And then at the same time, someone who's on the same level as him joins forces with him, again, a female, and helps him succeed. And if it wasn't for the two women, he would not be
where
in a
is.
Successful role by the end of the film. And guess what?
What?
Let's go a little bit feminist again. Because the next film is is the film that we spoke about earlier, Working Girl.
Ah.
And now we're at the end of the 80s and into the 90s. And women are struggling to get their voices heard in the workplace.
Of course.
And Melanie Griffith's character is cheated and exploited at work and then comes home to find her boyfriend, played by Alec Baldwin, is cheating. Like our other characters, she has to start again.
Yeah.
Her new boss, played by Sigourney Weaver, tells Griffith's character Tess that their relationship is a two-way street. But Tess soon figures out that this is not the case when she discovers that her new boss is stealing her ideas and palming them off as her own. Then a freak skiing incident puts Weaver in hospital in Europe, allowing Tess to pull off a master heist. And this is a great comedy about female empowerment. And what I think is really fantastic about it is miserable old Harrison Ford is in it. For once having to play completely against character and be nice.
Yeah.
You know, and if anyone knows anything about Harrison Ford, he is pretty much not a nice guy.
Yeah.
So it must be quite hard to pull off.
That's kind of played with quite a lot, isn't it, in films? Harrison Ford not being a nice guy. A lot of these films have a bit of a ring of Bridget Jones's Diary to them, don't they? Like, just listening, it sounds like there could have been some real influence in these films in the making of those.
Should we move on to the noughties?
Yes.
So, then you have Crazy Stupid Love.
Okay.
And here's a movie about rebooting. There's a surprise.
Yes.
Cal Weaver, played by Steve Carell, is forced to reboot his entire life when he discovers that his wife Emily has been having an affair with David Lindhagen, played by Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that cheeky Kevin Bacon.
Cheeky Kevin Bacon. Needing to find someone new and out for revenge, she turns to local gigolo Jacob Palmer, played by Ryan Gosling, for life advice. And of course, we all realise this is all going to turn out okay in the end, but first Cal needs to fight off unwelcome advances of a teenage babysitter. And then he discovers that his 20-something daughter, played by Emma Stone, is hooking up with a gigolo. All while alcoholic teacher Marissa Tomei is out for blood after a one-night stand. It is a classic romp that has more than a few laughs to it. It's a really nice film. And I believe that you've seen all four of those films.
Yes, I believe I have seen Crazy Stupid Love also.
Now, because it's me...
Yes.
We can't just get out of there without some sort of upsetting
wild
reference.
Card.
And here's my wild card. Exterminator 2.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've not seen the first one, because they're very, very different movies. But in this story, Robert Eastland is a Vietnam veteran who just wants a normal life. But then his girlfriend is paralysed by a gang in New York. And he does what any normal guy would do. Dons a welding suit, grabs an enormous flamethrower, and heads out onto the streets with his armoured rubbish truck, and burns every single one of those gangs alive, thus making New York a safe place again. So, you know...
I know you would do that for me.
There's a little bit of, there's a little bit of rebirth there, you know. You lose everything.
Kind of rebirth in the same way as Batman cleans up the streets.
Exactly. So it's not just about personal development. It's about...
town planning.
Yes. Exterminator 2 was actually, like, a weird film from the early 1980s. It was made by Menahem Globus and Yoram Globus, who ran
that's a mouthful
a company called Canon.
Oh, really?
And yeah, Exterminator 2 was one of the films that really kind of lifted Canon up.
So VHS classic.
yeah. So before then, it was peddling these. They were called hot bubblegum films.
Hot bubblegum.
And it was Israeli comedies about young men going through puberty and whatever. So they'd done that, and then they'd done Breakdance and Breakdance 2, Electric Boogaloo, and that was pretty much it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, Exterminator 2. It's like, wake up. And then before you knew it, they were producing some of the biggest films of the mid-1980s off the back of films like Exterminator 2.
So
absolute
it was a rebirth
trash.
For Canon as well.
It was a rebirth for Canon. And, you know, Canon, by the end of the 80s, they'd made the live-action version of Masters of the Universe.
Hmm.
So... And while I jest on the last movie, and of course there's hundreds of others I could have highlighted, much like real life, if you persevere in the face of adversity, sooner or later everything turns out okay. So, on a slightly more somber note, if you know someone that's going through a rough time, make sure you sit them down and let them know everything will be okay. Believe it or not, I worked as a Samaritan in the 90s. And Easter is one of those times of year when people get incredibly down. You know, it's two holidays back to back. There's a lot of isolation.
Yeah.
So if you know anybody that's spending time on their own or someone that's a bit down, reach out to them this Easter and encourage them to join in with your activities if you can.
Go and watch a film with them.
Exactly.
Take, what was it, Crazy Stupid Love. With you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say take Exterminator 2.
Depends who you're going to see, I guess. But yeah, no, that's a very good point. And with that, let's play some more music. I think next we're going to have Spring by Ed Sheeran.
have lost the nerve. This year flew by without a word. I had a plan to cross the world, but haven't left this island. The stores closed down and opened up. I said I'd do a sober month. I failed but tried and wrote this drunk in overwhelming silence. And I'll see my friends when all this ends. But now until then, I'm holding out for the spring. We can't let winter win. That's why I'm holding out for the spring. Oh, our earth stay within. I'll keep holding out for the spring. Cancelled holidays, the blame gets passed to save a face. The smell of last night's takeaway just tells me I'm a mess. Still watching shows they recommend that don't get good until the end. I could be unwell, but then again, maybe I'm just depressed. And I'll fix my head when all this ends. But now until then, I'm holding out for the spring. We can't let winter win. That's why I'm holding out for the spring. Oh, water, stay within. I'll keep holding out for springtime. Blue skies, frost fades slowly across my. Out for spring, we can't let winter win. That's why I'm holding out for spring. Oh, water, stay within.
And that was Ed Sheeran. I quite like that song. It's quite jolly. What do you think, Spencer?
I hate Ed Sheeran.
Uh-oh. But even at springtime.
Yeah, no, I don't know why. You know, like those people that you just can't gel with. I just, you know, me and Ed Sheeran, we're just not hitting it off.
You just don't gel.
Just don't gel. I mean, I can even tolerate Harry Styles, but, you know, Ed Sheeran...
Not too keen.
No, not a fan of Ed Sheeran.
Anyway, back to our...
Just stop it.
Just stop it, Ed Sheeran. Get that public message out. Write him a strongly worded letter of complaint.
Go and build your swimming pool.
Or your Lego house.
Exactly.
He did that as well, didn't he? But anyway, back to theme. So we're talking everything new beginnings, Easter celebrations, what's happening in spring. And I thought, actually, one thing that people do tend to do over this period of time is spring clean. And I know that looking around the house myself, I think, oh, perhaps I should be doing that. Not that I really want to, but... It is kind of embedded somewhere, that this idea of getting out the winter, it's kind of ingrained, isn't it? You know, and I guess in the old days you probably would have changed your curtains and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, there was an element
of fire
that.
A little bit, do
there
some
was
different
definitely
things.
Curtain changing, duvet change.
Oh yeah, the duvet change. Get your lighter duvet on.
Exactly.
Open up the windows.
Stop lighting the coal fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking, for creatives, tidying up isn't something that's at the forefront of your mind. You'd much prefer to do some making things. But actually, there are a couple of creative people, especially in terms of design and architecture, that really promote spring cleaning and making your workspace a less hectic one through spring cleaning. So I've got a couple of tips for if you're at home and you're creative and you want to have a space that kind of works for you. So the first one, and this is going to sound very Marie Kondo, declutter mindfully. So you know the Marie Kondo thing, don't you? Only keep it if it brings you joy. What happens if everything brings you joy? So before diving into your spring cleaning
spree, everything I own brings me joy.
Take a mindful approach to decluttering, which means evaluating each item in your wardrobe and asking yourself if it truly serves a purpose, or as Marie Kondo says, brings you joy. From an interior design perspective, you can read a book called Create Space, Declutter Your Home to Clear Your Mind by Dilly Carter, who says, it's never too late to reorganise your home into a place of sanctuary. So this book will give you motivation to get rid of your mental and physical clutter and will help you get back on track in all areas of your life. It's held as London's Marie Kondo book, and Dilly Carter from Declutter Dollies offers a refreshing book that's perfect for any interior design lover or homemaker. So she's basically saying that if you declutter and remove the things that you don't necessarily need, it will kind of lift you a little bit. It will improve your well-being, just being in a clearer space.
Well, old what's-his-face, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, and whoever it was that
you
used
to... I don't know, was he a more is more person?
Him and whoever it was that he used to present Changing Rooms with the very first time it was around, they always used to have that thing, didn't they, where they used to say, if you've not touched it in 3 years, let it go.
Oh, yeah, they did. I'd forgotten about that. So, I used to really enjoy Changing Rooms, but I don't think I would have survived in any of Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen's designs. They were far too floral and busy. That would have really upset me. I remember he did one that was kind of this rich purple room that had black and white tiled floors. And then there was like this neo-baroque type wallpaper. And it was just, there was just so much going on. So much. And then he used to staple things to the ceiling as well, didn't he?
It's funny though how times change, because we've all been about creativity and creativity at home. And, you know, Channel 5 did that thing where they were picking up all those, you know, number one BBC shows and reinventing them. Challenge Annika.
Oh, yeah.
And
Changing Rooms.
And Changing Rooms. And Changing Rooms just fell flat on its face this time around. There's just no...
Yeah.
People just don't want that sort of...
But I think
stuff anymore.
Going back to this decluttering, and this isn't one of the tips that I've put in the show notes, but I was also reading that in interior design, you should think about the durability of the items of furniture that you buy and looking at quality rather than quantity and kind of fast fashion, which I'll get onto. So Changing Rooms in the 90s was about having constant refreshes of your home rather than decluttering and moving things around. It was about buying new, painting everything anew. Whereas I think now, looking towards Scandinavian design, Danish design in particular, and even Dutch design, you know, everything is far more minimalist and space conscious. I wonder if it's because we're living in smaller homes, but, you know, it's very different to the kind of Changing Rooms vibe, which was very much, let's put everything you're thinking of in a room. But anyway, so moving on to the second point, which is repair and upcycle. So talking about fast fashion, one creative has a passion for upcycling T-shirts. So before discarding damaged clothing, consider if it can be repaired or upcycled. So you can learn basic sewing skills to mend and tear, replace missing buttons, get creative with upcycling old garments into new pieces or accessories, or giving them a fresh lease of life and reducing waste. So it isn't common knowledge, but when it comes to recycling your clothes, actually recycling, taking things to a charity shop, isn't the best thing to do with your clothes. It's actually to repurpose them, because you're more likely to use your clothes than somebody is going to pick them up in a secondhand shop. It's something like you're 80% more likely to reuse the clothes yourself. So once you've bought that item of clothing, you are the person that is most likely to wear it. And you have to remember that when you buy things, to be sustainable. So there is an artist called Elise McMahon whose recent passion is upcycling t-shirts. Now she's a designer, and the t-shirts has just become a side passion because she found she just had loads and loads and loads of t-shirts that she'd picked up from different places, kind of loved them all but had too many. And now she's essentially a fast fashion activist, and she says the project comes out of the belief that as a society we're in a time as individuals living in the US and other Western societies, recognising our complicity in the effects of overconsumption. So she thinks that we should all do our part by taking responsibility for our own trash locally instead of expecting others to manage the burden of our waste. And she says one thing that you can do is upcycle your clothes, and that would make a huge difference. So she uses old and discarded t-shirts as a raw material to make new products from, and she sells them from her studio and she keeps them, and her studio is called Like-Minded Objects. And she also sells a downloadable ebook that shows you how to do this from home too, and it's basically weaving, lots of weaving of t-shirts. So not necessarily say, oh, you know what, I'm going to put some beads on that t-shirt and wear it again. You know what, you're probably not going to wear that t-shirt again if you sew some beads onto it, because you like the t-shirt not having beads on it. You either carry on wearing it, or maybe if there's a hole in it or something, you can turn it into a new material by cutting it up and turning it into something to weave with.
I might do that with all my old t-shirts.
What are you going to weave?
I'm going to weave escape ropes.
Escape rope.
Yeah.
Like a ladder to go out of the window.
Yeah, for when I need to escape.
I mean, she uses the weaving kind of as materials to cover items of furniture and stuff like that.
Don't know if I like my...
Your t-shirt.
Penguin t-shirt to...
No.
Cover our footstool.
No, okay. Well, we'll think about what we can do with the t-shirts. I mean, I'd like to think that I wear all of my t-shirts on rotation of maybe 1 year, because I have so many. But it does definitely make you think about what you're doing with those clothes once you receive them. The third thing that I have on my list to talk about is light in your home. So this is from a very architectural point of view, in terms of your spring cleaning. Actually, come spring, come lots of nice natural light into your home. So as we said, in the old days, you would have got rid of your winter curtains to let the light in. Actually, what is the best way to help you get light in? So sunlight can reduce the level of fatigue you feel when you're forced to look at a computer screen all day. So it's very, very good for your eyes, as well as increases hours of productivity. So stops you feeling sleepy at 4 o'clock.
Sunlight doesn't stop me feeling sleepy.
And it also can lift your mood and give you better vision. So it can literally help your eyes and your eyesight. Smartphones and fluorescent lights have the tendency to cause eye strain, which then causes frequent headaches, eye soreness and fatigue. So by reducing this use of artificial lighting, you can help your eyes produce dopamine, which is essential in healthy eye development. So all good things, especially for creatives, because, you know, if you're a visual artist, the visual part is quite important. So I was looking at tips of doing this, and Asha, which is an exterior design consultant, says one way you can do this is by landscaping. So if you live in a house with a front garden, they say landscaping is a great way to boost your curb appeal. So yeah, it makes your house look nice from outside. But the time comes when the overgrown trees and bushes start to diminish the light entering your home. And this is true for your garden as well, if your light comes in from back windows. So it's often important to look outside to improve the inside of your home. Of course, there are also interior tricks too. Urbanist architecture says that mirrors could be the answer for if you have a small window in your home or room. They give a greater sense of space by giving an impression of doubled space, especially when window mirrors are used. And when carefully placed, can help direct natural light into darker spaces such as hallways or staircases. You can also add metallic paint to your interior to give a similar mirrored effect, but remember to keep colours as light as possible. White walls are the best for making your space look bigger. Finally, they also suggest that structural changes to your space can help open up the route for light into your home, for example, using skylights. However, they also suggest that even by just cleaning your windows regularly can make a huge impact. And that's inside and outside your windows.
Mm-hmm.
Because small amounts of dust, etc., really block the amount of light that come into your rooms. So, yeah, lots to chew on with that.
There might be lots to chew on off the inside of the window.
Well, yeah, it depends whether or not you've washed your windows since the autumn, I guess. But anyway, this leads me quite nicely into Architecture Week, which I mentioned earlier, and the thing that I've been working on for the last couple of weeks, which is all about celebrating spaces that we inhabit. And this year, Architecture Week is called Havering Architecture Adventure, and it's got a focus on home and the places where we live and work and spend most of our time. So what is it? So it's a festival. Spencer's nodding, yes. It's between the 8th and 16th of April at the Mercury Shopping Centre, and it is an association with the No Collective. That's why I'm excited about it. And there are a host of community partners that are helping us discuss the places we live and enjoy in Havering. So we're starting the week with a free workshop for local people to create a light dispersing decoration for their homes, and this will be the Mercury's Breakfast Club, which is a social club for people to join in on a Monday morning. It happens every week. There's always some lovely craft activities, and the idea of that craft is that you make a small colourful window, so like a little stained glass window that you can put by another window, and then it disperses patterns onto your floors and walls, so just give a nice little pattern impact of light for the spring. So that's called Window Nouveau.
And big fan of a lit window.
Lit window, yeah. Stained glass.
Yeah.
Very nice. So Art Nouveau is from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Very popular across Europe and very popular in residential homes as well. Lots of people have Art Nouveau-inspired windows across Europe and in the UK as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many people come along that have recognised these windows in the local environment as well. But yeah, as I said, that's free to come along to. You just need to book online. So Architecture Adventure is a biannual festival. So the last one we ran was 2 years ago, and the idea of it is to improve awareness on how decisions are made in our built environment and encourage more young people to take a step towards creative careers in occupations like architecture, property and interior design. So in this area in Havering, there are less people taking jobs in property management, surveying, even being investors in property. It's low for London. So, yeah, there's a real push towards getting younger people just excited about things like architecture and engineering. I mean, if you think about it, Spencer, both me and you are property people, but it's not really a route that is necessarily thought of when you're a young person. It's usually something that you end up doing because somebody knows that this is a type of job that you can do and then suggests it. Like, I don't remember ever talking about this as a career option at school.
I got to 40 before I realised what I wanted to do when I was an adult.
When you were 40. I mean, that's not bad. Some people never know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that's what it's about. There's a couple of other activities that I will share with you. So there's an activity called Romford Utopia. We run this activity religiously every festival. And basically, it is an opportunity for children to come and place a building of their choice on a giant Romford map. The map is to scale with all of the roads in Romford town centre to scale. So they can literally put a shop in a shopping centre or they can put a house in a little residential street, or they can just, you know, knock down the town hall and put a park there instead.
Can they put a house in a shopping centre?
They can put a house in a shopping centre. I mean, they could have a full-on Logan's Run inside the Mercury.
If you're listening, kids, I want to see houses in shopping centres.
Houses in shopping centres.
Not on top
of. Definitely not gone wrong in lots of dystopian films. So that's on the 13th, 14th of April. It's in the Mercury from 10 till 4. There is also an activity called Cardstruction, which is a day with Hannah Davis, who you've probably heard of many times. We're always talking about Hannah.
That pesky Hannah.
And yeah, that pesky Hannah.
She's a photographer.
She's a photographer and she makes spaces. So she's coming in and she's going to be working with children on making giant houses, basically. So you can learn how to use lots of construction techniques with Hannah. And she's got some really cool children's tools. So you can come and have a go with like a children's hammer, children's nails, like all of this really fun, safe play stuff that you probably wouldn't see otherwise. So that's really cool. And it will be guided play. So your five-year-old can come and make a castle if they want. And Hannah will help them build it. That's going to be super fun. And that is on the Thursday of... architecture adventure, and that's being assisted by the Mercury's waste contractors, the B&M. So they're also there on hand to talk to you about recycling in your home, the best ways to reduce waste, the waste hierarchy if you're interested in that, and also helping the kids build whatever they want to build as well. There's a couple of other activities. Triangle Town will be on the Friday. That's all about engineering and building the strongest bridges with triangles. Yeah, Spencer's cringing a little bit. We're not building actual bridges, they're like miniature bridges, but we're looking at weight bearing bridges essentially in terms of engineering, but in a fun way. And there's going to be competitions and prizes and just having fun with the idea of engineering. Yeah. I'm going to be there for that one because that is really fun for me. And then on the Tuesday, so one of the first activities that we've got for Architecture Week, we have an activity with Havering Council, which is the first public activity with Romford's new revised master plan. So you can literally come to the centre and see what Havering Council have in mind for the plans of Romford for the next 20 years. So that's quite big and exciting. There'll be some people there that will be able to explain everything to you. Kids can kind of play some games and get involved with making models of what they'd like to see in Romford. And it's going to be really interactive and also really full of information for if you live in Romford or live around the town or just want to know what's going to happen to Romford in the future. So that's on the Tuesday from 11 till 3. And then if you live in Harold Hill, there's also an activity there on Saturday, which is about interior decoration that reflects different cultures. So we're going to be looking at Islamic tiles,